Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Metabolism and Menopause Podcast. My name is Stephanie, and I am your host and CEO of Vitality OET. We are a women's nutrition, health, and fitness company that focuses predominantly on women's hormones, particularly as they start going through perimenopause and onwards. We know that you start experiencing so many changes in this time of your life, whether it be hot flashes, night sweats, irritability, brain fog, or that weight gain around the middle that comes out of absolutely nowhere despite you not changing anything. So you go back to those tried and true methods of cutting calories, cutting carbs, doing a bunch of cardio, yet it seems like nothing is working, or the scale actually starts moving in the opposite direction than what you want. But we know now that your body is inherently different now that you're going through these hormonal changes. So our mission here at Vitality is to really help you understand how your body changes in this time of your life so you can reach those health and fitness goals, live a life full of vitality, feel in control and at home in your body again, and really understand how to take care of this new body of yours. So today, I want to talk about a topic that's pretty trendy. It's out there a lot. And it's all about intuitive eating. There's a lot of, you know, only eat when you're hungry and all those kinds of things. And I want to go into why this is kind of a mistake, actually, why you need to learn a lot more to be able to actually do that effectively, because this is where we see people eating too much, eating too little, not eating consistently. And intuitive eating is really what it is just tapping into your body's natural ability to be able to tell you when you're hungry or when you're satisfied. But can you actually trust your body to tell you that? The answer for most women, especially the women that I talk to who are trying to lose weight and have been struggling for a long time, is no, you cannot trust your body. And this is because you don't have the proper signals. So this can be from hormonal imbalances. This can be from fasting, from overeating, from gut health issues, and all those things are going to influence you in terms as to, is your body actually getting the right signals? Because most of the time, you're not, and we need to be able to know the difference between, am I actually hungry? Am I not hungry? And why? Why am I experiencing these things? And understand how that works, because you might not be hungry, but you haven't eaten all day. So you should probably eat something because it's going to affect your hormones negatively. So I want to dive into first some of the hormones that can really mess things up or, you know, influence your hunger signals and your appetite and if you're actually feeling satisfied after meals, those kinds of things. So number one is going to be cortisol. You know, we always talk about this, right? Cortisol is that stress hormone. It's our fight or flight hormone. And it goes up in times of stress, and things that can cause stress are going to be not eating enough food, you're fasting, eating too low carb, doing a bunch of cardio, not exercising enough, exercising too much. If you're not getting a good night's sleep, if you're go, 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 you're dealing with emotional stress and deadlines at work and taking care of sick parents, and you're dealing with grief and your children are not doing such great things right now, or, you know, your dog pooped on the floor. Who knows? Whatever it is, that stress is going to go up. And for some people, when our cortisol goes up and we're very stressed out, we tend to emotionally eat, right? Or we have this opposite where you're stressed out and then you aren't eating because you aren't feeling hungry because you're running on these stress hormones. And when our cortisol levels are high, which is a lot easier to happen during perimenopause and menopause, it doesn't take as much for that cortisol to jump up. We can not feel hungry. And what our body does is it breaks down muscle from our gut lining, as well as our muscle mass from our, you know, our legs, our butt, our arms, everything we're working so hard to get so fit and toned gets taken to the liver. And the liver breaks that down, turns it into sugar, puts it into your bloodstream so your body can use that as energy. This happens when you're stressed out and when you're not eating. But we know during perimenopause and menopause, it's so hard to build and maintain muscle mass, and that estrogen goes down. If your testosterone goes down, it's really hard to put on muscle mass. And that's what helps us stay insulin sensitive so we have better blood sugar control. So if you're doing these things and not eating because you're just going by how you feel, if you're in that stress state and skipping meals and things like that, it can actually really negatively impact your body composition. You have a higher body fat percentage. It can really negatively impact your hormones, because if cortisol is high, we're going to see that it really impacts our estrogen production, progesterone, testosterone, It affects our blood sugar control, decreases our thyroid function, our liver health goes bad, our gut health gets worse, our metabolism slows down. So you're trusting your body and only eating when you're hungry. But if you're stressed out, you can't rely on that because your body isn't getting that signal because it's just trying to keep you alive. If you're running away from a bear, do you think your body wants to be like, hey, you should stop for a snack? No. So this is what happens in fight or flight. You cannot trust the signal that your body is getting for you. So you need to know the difference of, oh, hey, I'm stressed out, so I should probably eat something so that like I'm not going to have cravings and crashes and energy later. So that I'm not losing my muscle mass that I'm working so hard to build and maintain. So it's learning to understand the difference between listening to your hunger and pairing that with what am I actually experiencing? What does my body actually need? Then we have leptin and ghrelin. These are the hormones that tell us if we are hungry and if we are full. So these can get out of whack as well. So if those hormones are not in the right position, we can be overeating, we can be undereating. So we need to know the difference. Then we have estrogen. I did a whole podcast on estrogen the other day. When estrogen goes down, food is less satisfying. So you might have a craving for something. Then you go have that thing. And then it doesn't satisfy you as well as it normally would. So again, we need to be aware of these things so that we can eat appropriately despite what our body might be feeling because we know what our body actually needs. It's knowing that difference. Progesterone. We know that if we have an increase in progesterone, that's going to affect our appetite as well. Testosterone, if that's low, we're going to have an increase in our appetite as well and lower energy. If our thyroid function is low, we're going to see that we are more tired, we are more fatigued, and you are going to have a bigger appetite. You're going to be hungry more often. So the hormones in itself really influence how you feel in terms of your hunger, your satisfaction around food. So this is why you can't just always trust your body to tell you when to eat because your body isn't in a place where it's sending you the right signals. I hope that makes sense. And then also like our intuition of food choices might not be balanced. So for example, if we start having cravings for sugar and carbohydrates, like the donuts and the chips and things like that, it could be because we're having a lack of protein in our diet. It can be because we're having more processed foods. So this is something that a lot of women who are in a fat loss phase, if they aren't focusing on having the majority of their foods come from whole food sources and single item, single ingredient foods, they're going to struggle a lot more because processed foods can really throw off our satiety signals. We eat a lot more of it and we get a lack of nutrition, so we find we're still hungry. So this is like eating a baked potato. Eating a baked potato takes work. Sometimes it can be hard to like finish that baked potato. The same amount of baked potato substance of like that potato in the equivalence of potato chips, you could eat a lot and a lot and a lot of potato chips, right? This is also where like not eating the proper food pairings. So making sure your carbs are always with a protein or a fat. So if you're having an apple by itself, you're probably going to be hungrier later because that blood sugar is going to spike and drop. If you have an apple and have it with some peanut butter or some yogurt, or you're having a pepperoni stick with it or some cheese, then you'll be okay. You're not going to have that same hunger signal later. So you need to understand how your food pairings are going to influence your hunger signals as well. This is why if just going by how you feel isn't great because there's so many things that contribute to when you feel hungry versus when you're not. And your cravings and things like that. So you need to understand how those things happen first and then being able to pair that. You know, like I wanted to have a fruit today. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if it was a nectarine. I don't know if it was a peach. I actually don't know what I ate, but it was in the bowl and I ate it. It's the bowl that Taylor says food goes to die. But I'm working very hard to make sure that doesn't happen. Get my variety of fruits and veggies. And I was going to have it just by itself. And I was like, no, I need to pair this with something. And I looked in the fridge and I was like, oh, I don't really think like a nut butter is what I want. I don't really think I want to have like cheese. And then I settled on some yogurt. So it was awesome. So I had some yogurt, a little bit of granola on there. So I had carbs. I had carbs that had fiber in it that are nutrient dense. I have protein from the Icelandic yogurt, some healthy fats in there as well. And that's going to balance my blood sugar so I don't have a craving later. So it's learning to understand, okay, I'm having this craving right now. What is it from? Or if I'm going to have a snack, how do I make it more balanced? I'm not going to be dealing with that appetite change later. These things matter. The next thing is having a history of not listening to your body. So just blatantly ignoring your hunger when you shouldn't have been. This is something that's very common. Obviously, if you're in a fat loss phase, you are going to struggle a little bit more in terms of hunger because you're actually dropping your calories, right? You're eating less. So that is supposed to happen, but that's supposed to be a short-term thing. You shouldn't be hungry all the time. So this is where like cycling through fat loss and maintaining is important. I did a whole podcast on simple seasons of menopause fat loss that you can go listen to. That's really helpful for that. But like how many of us have done diets in the past? I was guilty of this too. I did one in university where it was like you had the colored cups and you had so many servings of everything, right? And it was just a lot of like, yes, you had whole foods and stuff, but it was so low calorie that it was really, really tough for me. And then I did that for a long time. Like we're talking like 6 months. Like it was not a good season in my life by any means. But then it became easier and easier to ignore that hunger. And then you're running on those stress hormones and suddenly like that hunger just isn't there anymore, right? Or I'd exercise to not feel hungry because that cortisol comes up and then you're not hungry after you work out. So that was great too. But that was not good in terms of what I was trying to achieve. Not good for my health, not good for my hormones. So then when you're used to not feeling hungry or you're ignoring your hunger over time, like you're not trusting that either, right? So again, you need to know the difference as to why this is happening and what does your body actually need. I'm saying that a lot today because I want that to get through to you. And then also like, do you have goals that need you to be in a higher or low calorie state? So are you doing a reverse diet slowly? Are you going into a fat loss phase? Are you working on maintenance? And if you're just trusting on how you're feeling, you're not going to meet those goals. And that makes it very hard to reach where you want to be and navigate those things, right? If you're just trusting on how you feel. And this is something that a lot of women do struggle with because they're like, it feels wrong to eat when I'm not hungry. It's like, yes, but your body needs this. And the reason that you're not feeling hungry is because of all these hormonal changes that you've experienced and the high cortisol and all these other things that are going on. Or some days it's like, man, I am so starving. And it's like, yeah, because you didn't sleep. And when you don't have enough sleep, your appetite increases substantially on a night, like a day after a poor night's sleep. Like last night I slept so terribly. Just so terribly, that like then today it's like I need to make sure the foods that I'm eating are properly paired with like a protein and a fat, and I've got some veggies in there and some fiber, because otherwise if I don't and I just go based on how I feel, I'm reaching for my sugary snacks. I'm eating easily 500 calories more in a day than I usually would. So it's knowing the difference as to what is influencing your hunger. Why or why not do you feel that way? And then how can I actually make sure that I'm giving my body what it needs, knowing the difference? So what does that mean? That's what we like to term mindful eating. At the end of coaching, when we work with clients, this is what we really want people to achieve, is we want them to be a mindful eater. And we define that by paying attention to our food on purpose, moment by moment, without judgment. So you're not judging if you're hungry and you're not judging yourself if you're doing X, Y, Z, right? Like you are aware and being conscious of the food choices that you're making and why and what your body actually needs, understanding that difference. And this takes time. This is the end goal. This is nutritional literacy. This is where we want people to be, where they feel confident and they know like, hey, I've had a stressful day. I like worked through my snack time or whatever it is, my lunch. I need to make sure that I eat something that's got a lot more nutritional value and I'm getting enough food in, because otherwise, like if this cycle continues, I know what's going to happen. It's going to be a negative side effects that I'm going to see some weight gain. I'm going to have hormonal symptoms and I'm not going to sleep. And then that's going to make me want to binge more and have more cravings and all these things. So it's being aware and conscious of those things. And again, that's not going to happen overnight. It takes practice. It takes being intentional about the learning of this process. If you're actually trying to learn, you will be so much more successful than those that are just like riding the wave. This is why we hate meal plans, because you don't learn anything from it. You just learn to eat these things at these times and that's it. But you don't learn why, how to modify it if you have poor sleep or this happens or that happens. Like, you need to be an active participant in this. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard for you to get to that point. And this isn't something that people, again, get quickly. Like, this can be like a year process, a 6-month process. Like, it takes time. So if you are struggling with food balance and it's not super great, so you're seeing like foods is good or bad, that can make it really challenging, right? Or you start like restricting certain food groups, like your carbohydrates, right? We're not doing that anymore. Carbohydrates are packed with fiber, which are prebiotics, which help us with our gut health. This is why people who post keto tend to have so many gut health issues, is because of the lack of fiber that they're getting from their whole grains that are prebiotics. Fun fact there, super cool stuff. Or maybe you're getting distracted when you're eating. That's another way to not be super mindful, right? You're not conscious of what you're doing. Or you're a stress or emotional eater. So these are things that we need to tackle and learn more about, because if you don't, you can't trust your body's intuition and the signals that it's telling you, because that intuition is broken. It's like a toddler in a candy store. You need to understand the why of everything. And this is the part where we get tons of resistance, where tracking comes into play, because it can teach us about our bodies. Remember how I said that learning and being an active participant in that process is key to being successful? So tracking your macros, tracking your calories, it really helps us understand our bodies so much more. It helps us get to normal, good hunger cues, helps us understand fullness and food balance. It's a great place to start, and I know it can seem so overwhelming, so daunting, but so is anything when you're trying to learn. Okay, you need to learn about fueling your body properly. How many calories do you need? Do you need more or less carbs? Do you need more or less protein? Are you getting the right kinds of fat? Is there more processed food than you thought? This is what we go through with people on consultation calls. Like, I had a call yesterday with a wonderful woman. She's amazing. And it was a great conversation. She's been like really learning from the podcast, which is so exciting. And I love to see that. But we went through like, where is she at? Where do your calories need to be? What does rate of increase look like? What are you comfortable increasing each week? Like, so she's going to increase by like 50 calories and stay there for 2 weeks, maybe three, and then up again. Like, she's okay with this being a slower process because she wants to make sure she's doing it right, which I think is amazing to have that patience, because most people don't have that. We talked about where her protein needed to be. We talked about food quality, which looked great for her, which was very exciting. We talked about carbohydrates and how we can start incorporating different kinds. It was really, really great, but she was learning, what does my body actually need? What are the goals I need to get to, and how am I going to get there? She asked those questions. What am I adding here? Where can I add things in? And that's huge. And then like, if you're finding you're increasing your calories and you're really full, okay, this is where we use our calorie dense foods, which are still packed with nutrients. So this is where we rely on nuts and seeds and dairy products. Like, it's easier ways to get calories in. Like, adding an extra cheese to a sandwich, an extra slice of cheese, not a big deal, right? It doesn't have to be this huge daunting thing. So we talked about these things, right? So, and also, like, maybe you need to reverse diet. A lot of women do. Like, I don't talk to women who are ready for a fat loss phase ever, because that's not why you're listening to this podcast. So sometimes you might feel like a little bit full and you're not wanting to eat more past a certain amount, right? So we need to kind of talk about what that looks like. Maybe it's having a little bit of juice, you know, you can do that too. Easy way to up your calories without filling up your tummy too much. And then in a deficit, we know that we're going to be eating less. We're going to be hungry. So then we utilize those low calorie, high volume foods. So this is where like a lot of veggies make their way in, right? We're reducing from regular cheeses to maybe we're doing low fat cheeses or removing that altogether. One of Beth's clients just says, oh, going to a fat loss phase, removing cheese. Super easy thing for her to do. Not a big deal, right? Maybe we're subbing in regular eggs for egg whites. So volume of food doesn't change, but the calories are lower. So little things like that, that can make a huge difference. But again, it takes time and it takes learning to understand what your body needs, how to achieve those goals, all that kind of stuff. Tracking macros is a tool. It's not something you have to rely on forever. I myself track my food maybe twice a week. When I have specific goals that I want, then I'm more meticulous with it, obviously, and I track for a bit before trying to go into a deficit or anything like that. But it's a good way to check myself because I'll be like, oh, I think I'm getting enough protein. And then I check and I'm like, dang it, I'm only at 70 and I'm supposed to be at like 125. So that's not so great. So it helps keep me accountable and doesn't let things snowball too quickly. So it is something to help you once like you get closer to where you want to be goal-wise. It's just a tool that's there to help you, right? It's not something you have to rely on for the rest of your life. And that's where people like panic because they have preconceived notions or like past experiences that were bad or they became obsessed with it. But really it's like you were probably eating as little as possible, right? And that's what you were tracking. Now we're tracking to make sure you're getting enough food, getting enough protein. Like that's a much different mindset. And when you realize how much food you can eat, it's pretty exciting. So when we're looking at our tracking, if this is something that you want to start, the first thing that I always say is let's pay attention to protein. Many, many women struggle with eating enough protein. We see people come in eating like 40 to 50 grams of protein many times when we're looking at their food logs. And we need to oftentimes work up our protein to get to almost double. You want to be 0.8 grams per pound of body weight to 1.2 grams per pound of body weight. Typically, I max women out around 150 because then you start relying on lots of powders and bars and stuff like that, which can be handy when you're in a pinch, but can really like do damage to your gut health. We want to get most of our protein from whole foods, and we're going to have to increase slowly. And doing this can be very, very hard without tracking. This is a thing that when I'm not tracking, I find it very hard to hit my protein targets. So I have to track every now and then because it keeps me accountable to like make sure that's something I'm focusing on. It makes us aware of how to eat as well. So especially when we haven't been eating properly for our bodies most of our lives. And you can imagine if you've been like fasting and skipping breakfast, if you're trying to get like 140 grams of protein between lunch and dinner and a snack, like that's a lot of protein, you guys. Like that's a lot of protein. We're looking at like 50 grams, 50 grams and 30 grams in the snack. That's a lot of protein. If you can spread it out through a longer time period, you're doing a lot better. So that's really important to be aware of too. And protein servings can seem really large to someone who hasn't been hitting their protein levels for a long time. So for example, 4 ounces of cooked chicken is about 25 grams of protein. But what does that actually look like? It's about your iPhone and it's like 2 or 3 of them stacked on top of each other. That's a solid source of protein. So you can imagine, like that can be challenging because a lot of people will have like just a tiny little bit on their plate, right? Just really, really small. Just increase that portion size at your meals. That's a really great place to start. But then if you're a protein-based or a plant-based client or someone who prefers to eat plant-based, it can be a lot more challenging. So like, for example, if you're having tofu, 4 ounces is about 20 grams of protein. And that looks like about a half a cup, so about 4 inches by 4 inch block, which is quite a bit, right? So understanding what that actually looks like is really important. And again, if we're doing intuitive eating, you're not going to get that, right? Like we have to be mindful. We have to learn. That's part of the process. The next one is understanding the right calorie level. So we have a tendency to overeat or really undereat, or it goes up and down a lot. There's no consistency. You find like you have no hunger signals or you're hungry all the time. You're not really listening to how full you actually are, or it's uncomfortable because you eat too quickly. Or maybe you're needing to reverse diet because you've been eating low calorie for so long. And these are all things that are going to impact those hunger signals, right? So this is where understanding what your body actually needs is more important than what you feel. So if you need help calculating your calories, message me, email me, DM me. You can also book a consultation call. This is where we do like calculating your calories for you and where your protein should be, all that kind of stuff. We do that for free because we just want to help people. So if you want to do that, please do so. Like we are always, always, always happy to have those conversations with you. Because if you don't know where you're supposed to be, how are you going to get to your goals? That's like being like, okay, I want to run a fast 1 mile, but you don't know how far 1 mile is. How are you going to do that? How are you going to know when you get there? You don't. This is why understanding what your calories actually need or how many calories you actually need is so important. And those online calculators are so terrible. They don't counter into like your stress and your sleep, your energy, digestion, your hormones, your past dieting history, your past activity levels, how many diets you've done in the past. All those things are going to impact how many calories you should be consuming. So message me if you need help with that. Book a consultation call. Always happy to do that for you. The other thing that is going to influence hunger and can be helpful with the tracking process is fiber. Fiber. So if you aren't going to the bathroom every day, fiber is a really great thing to assess, but so is your stress. But I'll leave that for another day. I did a whole podcast on cortisol and stress you can go back to. But when you start experiencing symptoms like a lot of bloat or a lot of gas, or you're just genuinely feeling uncomfortable, it can mean that you have too little fiber, too much fiber, or your fiber is going up and down based on like day to day. And this is where I see a lot of women going wrong, because we start eating all these quote unquote health foods. So these are like the keto wraps and lots of bars and stuff, right? It'll say like 10 grams of fiber. Fiber comes from plants, comes from carbohydrates. Lots of those things, if you look at the label, I don't understand what's on there. So those are manufactured fibers, which are not the same. So you have to be careful, because if you're having a lot of those processed health foods, your fiber, like I've seen people have like 45 to 60 grams of fiber in a day, which is wild. If I did that, I would not poop for a week. Guaranteed. So typically we want to see 20 to 30 grams of fiber a day, but you want to track where you are first, because if you increase too quickly or drop too quickly, that can lead to a lot of digestive distress as well. And then we want to be focusing on consistency. So this is where, for example, if someone weighs themselves after a day of having a lot of fiber, the scale will be heavier. So it can mask changes that you're actually seeing in fat loss, because you have more water retention, you're backed up, leading to a higher number on the scale. So paying attention to fiber, super important. The next thing that can affect how you are feeling hunger-wise and appetite-wise is the amount of carbs. So this is oftentimes one of the hardest things for us to hit, right? Because we are so scared of increasing our carbs. However, carbs are what our body loves to run on. They are so important. I did a whole podcast on carbohydrates that you can go back to that really breaks down why they're so important, why you need them for fat loss. And incorporating simple and complex carbs can be really helpful. And that can be a shocker for a lot of women, that they can actually have some simple carbs in there. So you can have honey, you can have dates, fruit, white rice, oats. You can have the breads, you can have the pastas, just making sure that we want 80% of those carbs to come from whole food sources, and then 20% be more fun foods. So that can be like the pasta and things like that. But have the quinoa, all those things, like it's so good for you. If you are someone that's wanting to build more muscle, you need more carbohydrates. If we want to restore our cortisol balance and have our adrenals functioning properly and improve our hormone health, carbs are going to be essential. We need, the more active, the more stressed out you are, the less that you're sleeping, the more carbohydrates that you need. But again, you need to learn how to pair those properly. So go back to that carbs podcast. I talk all about how to eat carbs without affecting your blood sugar. So you might think that you're eating a lot of carbs, right? Like you might be like, well, I have a lot of veggies and all those things, but it turns out it's very little true carbs, you know, like you're thinking of like the slice of toast, but we need to make sure we're still having some fruit and things like that, right? Or maybe all you have is fruit and veggies and that carb number is going to be pretty low. So maybe you do have to have some grains in there. So this is where understanding, again, these things and how it impacts your hormones and your appetite is so important. And tracking can help you with that so much more. And like with intuitive eating, I just kind of want to summarize this all for you. Like intuitive eating is just listening to your natural hunger and fullness cues, but we cannot rely on these due to your hormones like cortisol and estrogen and testosterone. We need to be aware of how blood sugar is going to affect our hunger as well, right? And our appetite. Because if we're having a blood sugar crash, we want those sugary cravings, right? That's where that comes from. You need to know how like your sleep is going to impact that. You need to know how like skipping meals is going to impact that, your stress levels. So you can't always listen to your natural way and choices of foods, because like those foods are also going to influence your hunger and appetite as well, right? Like I said, having a bag of chips versus a baked potato is going to be very different. So it's not helpful for you if you're not having proper hunger and fullness cues, if you are having hormonal issues, if you are inconsistent in your food intake and like food choices and they're not a ton of whole foods, if you have a tendency to over and under eat, we don't have a ton of whole foods in our diet. Like these are all things that are really going to influence your body's cues. So you can't trust them. You need to understand those things first and your body and where things are going wrong so you know the difference and can apply the things properly regardless of how you're feeling, or put those feelings together with the knowledge that you have to make the decision as to what needs to happen. So when it comes to mindful eating, this is all about being aware of these things. We make food choices based on both wants and our needs. So, okay, I want to have a donut. How can I make sure this isn't going to crash my sugars later and then have me have more cravings, and then I'm going to have a lot more hunger and more likely to binge later? How can I counteract that? So I'm having a donut right after a meal, or maybe I'm having some veggies and dip before I have this donut. Like, you learn those things, because if you just did the donut on its own, then you're going to be, if you're relying on your hunger cues later, you're probably going to overeat later, which we do not want. So it's understanding those things. So being aware of the food choices, the hormone balance that you specifically have, and making sure that your routine is set, like you're hitting your protein, that you're having carbs of fiber at every single meal, that you're always pairing carbs with protein or fat, and that like you're paying attention to your lifestyle and the stressors and the sleep and all those things, and how all of that works together to have those cues so that you can make the best decision for your body to get you closer to where you want to be. So I know that's kind of like, okay, that makes sense, but how do I actually apply it? Just message me. I will first help you figure out where you are, where you need to be, and then the steps to get there. Easy, simple as that. I do this for every single person who messages me. Book a consultation call. We do it that way as well. So please do not hesitate to reach out. This is like, I hope that this like made some little light bulbs click for you. And if you can like learn these things and really understand what your body needs, there's nothing that you cannot achieve. But again, you have to be willing to do the learning and do the things. Because if I calculate your calories for you and tell you how to get there, but you don't do the things, it's not going to matter. So please, if you want, message me. I will help you, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.